I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. As we have seen this morning, the account of the crucifixion and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the heart, the message of what we call the gospel. The word gospel simply means the good news. But the good news begins with bad news, and the bad news is that we're all sinners and we all need a Savior. I'm grateful for the truth, the good news that Jesus Christ came to this earth to save us. And on his time here on this earth, we're reminded that he went to the cross. I want to begin there this morning because that's where it all begins and where we began today, looking at Jesus on the cross. And I want you to see a text here in Luke chapter 23. I'm going to begin reading in verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors, just simply means criminals, led with Jesus, to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. I want you to drop down, if you will, with me down to verse 39. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Jesus, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say to you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." There's much that's told in this passage of importance. We're told the place where Jesus died, Calvary. Hebrews 13 speaks of him being crucified outside the gate, outside the city. We see the purpose that he died for, the purpose that he went to the cross. "Behold the Lamb of God," we saw this last Sunday, "that takes away the sin of the world." We see the punishment by which he died. He is crucified. It was a cruel and harsh punishment. No matter how many details we can add, no matter how many things we can show in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, it is really impossible for us to accurately convey all that took place and all that Christ suffered in his crucifixion. It was probably one of the worst penalties of death ever devised by man. In fact, it's so horrible that it reminds us of how vile man can be. But I want you to notice in the text this morning, the people with whom Christ died. The people that he died with, the two men that were nailed on each side of him. Isaiah 53 and verse 12 spoke of the suffering servant, the Messiah, the Christ that would come, and it said he was numbered with the transgressors. These two criminals that Jesus is dying with. He did not die with the righteous. He made his tomb with the righteous, but he died with the unrighteous. He was numbered with criminals. As we look at this morning, there are three crosses. We have one here, but you know the story. There's one on each side of Jesus. And as we look at this, there are three crosses. Each one of them reminds us of some great truth. First of all, I want you to see the cross of rebellion. The cross of rebellion. There's the man hanging there, and he begins, as those around are mocking Jesus and saying things like, "If thou be the Christ, come down off the cross and we will believe." They really did not believe. There was no indication of faith in their hearts, but they wanted to mock Jesus. They put the crown of thorns on him. They put the purple robe on him. They put the sign over his head, "King of the Jews." And they were doing it out of mockery. And this criminal hanging on the cross on the left side of Jesus begins to join in the mockery. And as we see him there, we see this cross of rebellion. We think of his crime. What was his crime? There's been a lot of debate through centuries and discussion. There's tradition about what his crime was. But let me tell you today that his greatest crime was not stealing. His greatest crime is the crime that every one of us stands guilty of, and that is the crime of sin. Every single person who comes into this world has committed the worst possible crime because it is against the greatest of all beings. It is against God Himself. Our sins are not great because of what they do to other people. They are great because of what we do to God with our sins. Maybe this morning you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, I'm really not that bad. I look around and I see folks and I know I'm better than this person and I'm better than this person and I'm pretty close. That person's not perfect and we're gauging and we're evaluating each other. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single person, as soon as we come into this world, we immediately begin to sin. But we're not just sinners because we choose to sin. We are sinners by nature. Ephesians chapter 2 says, you were by nature the children of wrath. Every single one of us is born with a sinful nature. And so his crime, his great crime, was not stealing. His great crime was sin. It'd be easy for us to sit back and maybe be there with the mockers who were on the ground, the religious leaders who would point and say, look at these terrible people that are hanging on the cross. But they were just as guilty of sin. We hear his cry in this verse. I want you to look in verse 39. One says, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. He cries out to Jesus, the right person, and he cries out for deliverance. He says, save us. There are those who come to Christ. There are those who come to church thinking, and they come to religion thinking that somehow this is going to make my life better. I'm going to follow Christ, and I'm going to put some money in the offering plate, and I'm going to do a few religious things, and suddenly everything's going to get better, and God's going to deliver me from my situation. You see, he's not praying for the salvation of his soul. He is praying for a physical deliverance. Get me off this cross. But there is the possibility of getting off the cross and being delivered physically without being delivered spiritually. And there is also the possibility, as we'll see in just a moment, of hanging on the cross and dying physically, but living forever spiritually. And so he is calling out. Every person is hungry for something. God put a God-sized hole in all of us that only He can fill. And we spend our lives searching for something to satisfy. Those who are looking into substance abuse, those who are looking into sexual deviancy, those who are following after all sorts of sinfulness, and what they're looking for is they're trying to find something that will satisfy. They are calling out to Jesus, Lord, free me from this being that I am. He says, deliver us. He is seeking the right thing in the wrong place. Think about the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus, seeking for salvation, but seeking to find it in his own works. Maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe you're seeking deliverance. You know you need something. There's a vacuum. There is a hole in your heart, and you can't figure out quite what it is, and you've looked everywhere. You may have even looked in church and in religion, but apart from Jesus Christ, there is no satisfying of the deepest needs and desires of our being. This man cries out. But then notice his choice in this account. He begins to mock, and he says, he leads with a word of doubt, if thou be the Christ. If you are who you claim to be. It is not a question, it is not a desire of faith, it is a desire of doubt. He wanted the immediate. He wanted it right now. God, I want you to do for me what I demand, and I want it right now. He wanted the tangible. He wanted something that he could feel and see. He wanted what was self-affirming. There is no repentance in his heart. You come to Christ, you better come on his terms. We come to Christ, we must first admit that we are a sinner and cannot save ourselves. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And the problem with sinners and the problem with every one of us when we desire this thing that we need, We think that we can come to God on our own terms. God, I'm going to make a demand, and you, if you're who you claim you are, get me off this cross. Deliver me from this situation. Free me from this addiction. Solve this problem in my life. And he wanted what he wanted, and he wanted it in a way that affirmed who he was. He wanted salvation on his terms. He wanted salvation his way. The problem is he simply did not have faith. You can call out all you want to, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto him must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He viewed Jesus from a physical point of view, and he rejected him. And we see in this passage his condemnation. There's no acknowledgement that Christ is who Christ is. He's so close, only a few feet away from salvation. Can you imagine that? Only a few feet away from not only the Savior, but the very work that would save. One day he will stand before God, and God will say what he may say to some of us. I'm sorry. I never knew you. Is that what you will hear this morning? If you were standing before God, would he say, I'm sorry, I never knew you. So close. You were so close on that Easter Sunday morning when you heard the gospel saying and you saw the presentation and you heard the message of the gospel. You were so close. You were convicted in a service and God spoke to you, the witness of that family member, the witness of that friend, and I worked and the Holy Spirit convicted your heart. You were so close and yet so far away. The ruler said to Paul, Paul, almost you persuade me. There's no almost when it comes to salvation. There either is or there isn't. The cross of rebellion. I remember preaching one Sunday years ago. I preached the gospel message and the conviction of the Holy Spirit was heavy in the service. And I stood and watched a man stand on the back row. And he stood there trembling. He was red in the face and he was gripping the pew so hard that his knuckles were turning red. And I saw him hold on and walk out of that service without trusting Christ. That's the cross of rebellion. Are you on the cross of rebellion? I'm not asking you, are you a member of a church? I'm not asking you, have you been baptized? I'm saying and asking, are you on the cross that says, I'll have it my way or else? There's a second cross, the cross to Jesus' right. Was the cross of repentance. The penitent thief. Think about this man just for a moment. In verses 40, he says, the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, seeing you are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. We deserve what we're getting. I see the grace of this man's testimony. It tells me that no sinner is too wicked to be saved. It tells me that there is no one who has committed any crime, has committed any sin, that can't turn to Jesus Christ and find forgiveness of their sins. Aren't you thankful? If you have trusted Christ, aren't you thankful for the day that Jesus Christ forgave your sins? Why? Because we are all sinners, and I'm thankful that he continues to forgive our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It tells me that no sinner is too wicked, and it tells me that it is never too late. Never too late. Here is a man who is literally seconds, minutes away from death. Talk about being snatched from the jaws of death. Here is the Savior on the cross, snatching this man from the clutches of Satan and from death, and clutching him from an eternity of punishment and separation from God and an eternity in hell, not eternal life, but eternal death. And Jesus Christ snatches him as he is dying for this man's sin. He forgives this man. It's never too late. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. This is the day of salvation. God is speaking to you this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, please don't walk out and say, well, I'll do it again another time. Maybe I'll come back another Sunday. We have no guarantee that we will have another Sunday. Today is the day of salvation. His desire and call are important, but they're not enough. There are two things in this man's call to Jesus that I want you to see that are of absolute importance. One is repentance. This man acknowledges that he deserves to die. We deserve what's happening to us. There must be repentance. There must be an acknowledgement that we are sinners, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But there's also faith. He says to Christ in verse 42, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Lord, he addresses Jesus as Lord. You see, it's not just enough to say, well, I've done a few things wrong. It's not enough to realize my life is a mess and I need to be delivered from what I'm in. My family's a mess and this is a mess and things are going wrong. The way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says. And God, get me out of this. It's not enough. There needs to be that recognition that we stand guilty before God, but also a recognition that there is a Savior who hung on that central cross, and He is the one who died to take away our sin. And that's what this man does. He had repentance and he had faith. I wonder, I've thought about this over the years, and I thought about this particular man and the glory of his testimony. Here was the first, have you ever thought about this? The first soul redeemed under the new covenant. The angels, the Bible said, have desired to look into the message of the gospel and the work of God in redemption. They saw all that took place in his work of redemption building up to the cross and all the shadows and all the types of the Old Testament. And now they watch as this soul comes. And this is where the resurrection comes in. Because no testimony is complete without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here's the man that has been with Jesus in paradise. And when Jesus rises from the grave, he leads captivity captive, the Bible tells us. And perhaps the first soul to enter into heaven. The angels have never seen anything like this. They've seen those that have believed, those have looked forward to the cross. But here's the first soul saved after the cross. Maybe his testimony was something like this. I was on the side of death, but now I'm alive in Jesus Christ. I was on the side of doubt, but now I'm living by faith. I was on the side of the condemned, but now I've crossed over to stand with the redeemed. I was separated from God by my sin. But I have been reconciled, justified, adopted, and accepted into the Beloved. On that side, I was bound in the chains of my sin, but on this side, I am free, free, free. Thank God, I am free. I was on the side that was without hope in this world, but now I'm filled with hope, both in this world and in the next. I was an enemy in rebellion against God, but now I'm His friend. And I'm on the winning side. I was on the side bound for hell, but now I'm entering into a place where Jesus has prepared for me. And one day He's going to come and He's going to take us there to be with Him forever. I just imagine Him entering heaven. Maybe he was singing. Maybe He was singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. Maybe he was singing, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe, safe am I. Love lifted me. I like to think he was singing, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. That can be your testimony this morning. Which side of the cross are you on? Are you on the side of rebellion against God? God, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to live like I want to live. I'm going to hold on to just enough of God to say that I'm a Christian and I'm going to live like a sinner. I'm going to live over here in the world. I'm going to do what I want to do. We can't come to God on our own terms. We come to Him on His terms by Christ and Christ alone. That's how this man came to Jesus. Both men called for salvation. Both approached Jesus as the deliverer and asked for deliverance. But one came in doubt and saw Him through the physical perspective of this world, and one came in faith, trusting Him for his eternal soul. The other saw Jesus through the eyes of faith, receiving salvation. This is really throughout Jesus' ministry, and it's the same today. Which side of the cross are you on? Which side of the cross? Are you on the side that's saying, I'll go my way and do what I want to do? Or have you crossed over? Are you on the right side of the cross, trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, I'm a good person. That's wonderful, but it doesn't matter. Pastor, I'm a member of the church. I'm even a Baptist. Does not matter a bit. Do you know there's going to be Baptists in hell? And for the Baptist, can I say there's going to be some non-Baptists in heaven? Big shock for some of you. You may even be a member of this church. Being a member of Central Baptist Church won't get you into heaven. The only thing that will get you into heaven is not your denomination, it's not your actions, it's not your works. It is what Jesus Christ did on the cross and how you respond to it. So today, look, there's a decision you have to make. You get to make this decision. God gives us the will to make this choice. He does all the saving, but He allows us to say, will I receive what Christ did for me or will I not? You get that opportunity right now. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And if you want to walk down this aisle, you can kneel on this altar, and someone will have someone share the Word of God and show you how you can trust Jesus as your Savior. Or you can do it right where you're sitting. You can, right where you are, you can say, Jesus, I want to be on the right side of the cross. I don't want to be on the side that loses and misses out. I want to be on the side that believes in You and trusts You as my Savior. And right where you are, you can do what this man did, and you can acknowledge that you're a sinner, and you can believe that Jesus died for your sins, and you can confess Him as your Lord and Savior. You can do it right here, right now. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Christians have their heads bowed. They're praying for those that don't know Jesus. And I'm speaking to those who have never trusted Christ. Here's what I want to say to you today. If you would acknowledge and just be honest, this is between you and me and the Lord. Pastor, I have never trusted Christ as my Savior. I've leaned on a lot of good things and a lot of things in my life. Maybe I was raised in a good family. I've been in church my whole life, but I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise up your hand so I can pray for you? Thank you for that. Just hold it up just for a moment. Raise your hand. Thank you for that. Then you can slide it back down. Thank you for that. I see that hand. Several hands all across the auditorium. Christians, be praying for these folks. Here's what I want you to know that you can do right now. In a moment, I'm going to pray. And saying the words that I say will not save you. Saying the correct words where you're sitting will not save you. But I'm going to ask you to just, with your head bowed, to pray and acknowledge that you are a sinner. That you believe Jesus died for your sins and rose again, and you are trusting Him for your eternal salvation. That you are confessing Him as your Lord and your Savior. You say that to God in your own words and profess Him. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and I'm going to ask Christians this morning Just because you are on the right side of the cross doesn't mean you're living the right way. Maybe in a moment when we have the invitation, you need to just come and get in this altar. God, I've drifted from you. I'm away from you. I want to make sure that I'm staying close to the cross, staying close to Jesus. Those of you that raised your hand, you don't know Jesus, would you just, God is speaking to you this morning, pray this prayer in your heart. Dear God, I realize that I am a sinner. There's nothing that I can do to save myself, but I believe that Jesus died on that cross to pay for my sins and to take my sins away. I repent, Lord, of my sins. I trust in Christ as my Savior, and I confess Him as my Lord. Thank you, Father, for bringing me into your family. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer and believed in your heart, the Bible says if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths, we will be saved. I want you to make sure and let somebody know. Come and let me know. Pastor, I trusted Christ this morning as my Savior.